Okay, so I think we would start. So once more, greetings to all, and happy to have you all on this call. As you know, we are meeting for the third times for the AP41 working group, and for this session, there is a draft agenda which has been circulated. I will kindly request the secretariat to display the proposed agenda for our meeting today. So, first of all, we intend to look at the meeting from the meeting summary from our previous meeting for adoption, and thereafter we would look at contribution that we have received for this meeting. We have mainly two documents. One document from which is a contribution from the Director General of TORs 1, 3, and 5, and another contribution on the same topic from the coordinators for the TORs 1, 3, and 5, and then we would get to AOB. So with that, I submit this draft agenda for approval. Any comments with regard to the proposed agenda? I see no comments, so the agenda is approved. So before into getting to the business of the day, I would maybe turn to the Director General if he has some, I would say, opening remarks to share with us before we get into the other items in our agenda. DJ?
Thank you, Chair. A very good morning, good afternoon, good evening to all colleagues. Particularly happy to welcome Chair of AP41 to this meeting. Shows a direct contribution from the membership in terms of presence at the highest level. We are happy to continue coordinating all the various aspects that we need to put in place for the meetings to be successful. And I must say, we have had very close cooperation with all the parties involved. The preparations are progressing well so far. And in terms of the preparatory documents from the Secretariat, we, as a matter of standard, we are going to be contributing a document from the Director General on the TORs, of course, in anticipation that there will be other contributions as well from other states. One of the things I would like to point out is that we, in our document, of course, we have some recommendations as well, taking into account the fact that there won't be much time for specific discussions subsequently on the TORs. And so maybe at this point in time, it would be useful to start looking at what could be recommendations out of the TORs. But they have been specifically sort of left to be light in the sense that we wanted to provide opportunity for improvements in terms of how you would want them to be stronger, and of course for inputs from the floor. So, Chair, with those remarks, I'm done. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thank you very much, Didi. I would also like to echo what you have just said by recognizing the presence of the chair of the AP with us. Thank you very much for being with us. And also, I thank also all the delegates or all the representatives from the different region. I see we have a good representation today. And as we have agreed during our previous meeting today, the focus of our meeting should be on looking into the insight of the TORs 1, 3, and 5, and if possible, trying to elaborate or to agree on, I would say, the initial recommendation for those three TORs. So I'm also glad to see that we have rich contributions. We have two insightful documents which are addressing the topic, and I'm pretty sure that from those documents we will be able to identify some initial recommendation that would could table for the AP41 in regards to these specific topics. So, I will then move to item two, adoption of the second meeting summary. The document has been circulated to the members. Is there any comments with regards to the summary of the second meeting? I see no request for the floor. Thank you. So, this summary is approved. So let's move then to item three, which is the contribution from the Director Generals on TORs 1, 3, and 5. So I would invite the DG or the Secretariat to introduce the contribution. You have the floor, sir. Did you are muted, or is it secretariat who will introduce the document?
The Director General.
I'm introducing, sorry, my apologies. In terms of the documents, it is mainly an overview of issues for consideration at this meeting. And the third meeting of AP41, of course, will address the first grouping of the terms of reference as established at AP41. And these terms generally focus on the nature of the relationship between ITSO and Intelsat, and between ITSO and the two notifying administrations as established pursuant to the terms of the PSA between ITSO and Intelsat. Specifically on term of reference one, it looks at the assessment of strengths, weaknesses, and opportunities to ensure a more successful ITSO, including, of course, securing the minimum funding levels. Term of reference one is specifically focused on a number of higher level considerations, which are intended to better ensure ITSO's future success in fully meeting the needs of the member states in light of the rapidly changing global telecom technologies and infrastructure. Want to mention that in assessing ITSO's strengths, there are some key characteristics that include, for example, credibility and leadership, adaptability, creativity, and resiliency. And so we look at each of these specific items and sort of come to a little more detail. On credibility and leadership, we note that ITSO's credibility on the world stage is a direct result of the complete support that commands from all the parties. And that broad-based support and commitment provides it with a uniquely credible voice on various issues, which will help shape the optimum global telecom environment in many positive ways. And so ITSO can therefore be a major asset for the operator in the current very competitive satellite environment. In addition, of course, we all note that ITSO is the only global international satellite organization that gives it some specific strengths. ITSO's adaptability should position well to further adjust its orientation and in response to these developments. On the creativity part, we have, as ITSO, striven to meet the needs of member states in a number of creative ways that were not necessarily specified within the ITSO agreement. And for example, we have developed a number of capacity building measures and programs that include in-person as well as virtual meeting training designed to assist parties in taking greater advantage of the technical capabilities necessary to optimally utilize satellite capacity as well as to help guide the establishment of regulatory policies. On the resiliency part, we have ITSO has proven to be extremely resilient in meeting serious challenges and throughout its existence since the time of restructuring. And despite sometimes when we have no necessary funding, ITSO has found ways to continue to function and remain relevant, weathering a number of storms over the past few years. So with those items, one can mention that looking at the future, ITSO's greatest opportunity in building upon its strengths is to reorient its mission and relationship to Intelsat and in future SS from one which is fundamentally characterized as primarily supervisory to one that is more cooperative and collaborative in nature. Efforts were previously undertaken to move in this direction, particularly during the timeframe from 2016 to 2018, including execution of two cooperation agreements, but dissipated shortly thereafter for lack of continued commitment or interest on the Intelsat's part. However, with the prospect of a new beginning on the horizon with SES, we think that a real opportunity would appear to exist, not only to revive, but to significantly expand that reorientation process. However, this optimum approach remains very much dependent on the outcome of the SES acquisition of Intelsat, which may not occur until the third quarter of 2025 at the earliest. As such, this means that current efforts in this regard remain more aspirational rather than concrete in the short run until the acquisition has been completed. In continuing with this, we found, missing on something here. And of course, assuming it does occur, the desired transformation will take the form of relationship built upon a joint commitment between ITSO and SES. On the side of funding, we recall, of course, the arrangements, the provisions within the PSA, which will set out the parameters that will be used for purposes of negotiating the funding. However, of course, we note that at the end, Intelsat decided on an arbitrary amount to fund it, so much lower than what it is entitled according to the PSA, and also lower than the budget approved by the Assembly of Parties. Therefore, there might be need to consider revising the PSA to include some important elements such as setting a minimum level of funding having multi-year funding and replenishing the contingency fund. There are four elements to the funding challenge that ISO must overcome, which are addressed below. The annual funding, operational funding regarding to ISO's annual operational funding. Regarding ISO's funding, the objective should be to secure SES agreement minimally to provide funding at a level that is sufficient for ISO to fully discharge its obligations under the ISO agreement. And ideally, this would include the establishment of a multi-year funding approach that will enable that objective. Such a multi-year funding approach offers advantages to both parties, which is why it would be desirable to achieve. It should also be noted in this regard that this is not a new or novel concept, nor would it be inconsistent with the existing PSA terms of funding, which would not restrict such flexibility. Indeed, Intelsat and ISO had previously agreed to two consequential three-year funding agreements over the time period 2013-2019. There's the issue of funding to address possible disputes, funding to address potential expenses incurred in the eventual invocation of a dispute resolution mechanism contained in Article 6 of the PSA was provided by the creation of a specific fund known as the contingency fund. The original amount of the contingency was set at 500, which was fully funded at the time of restructuring, and the PSA allowed for a one-time replenishment and readjustment of the contingency in 2013, which resulted in the contingency fund amount being reset at about 620. At that time, though, through a spirit of cooperation, ISO actually agreed that the replenishment would not need to occur unless and until, while the PSA did not provide opportunities for any further replenishment would still occur if ISO prevailed in the arbitration of proceeding and the arbitrator awarded reimbursement of costs. Unfortunately, ISO was prevented from securing a final agreement, such judgment in favor of the arbitration proceeding because Intelsat prevented a final resolution from being achieved as a result of its bankruptcy proceeding. That's why the PSA does not expressly allow for any further replacement opportunity from an equity perspective, particularly in light of what happened previously. Some mechanism that would allow for filing in the event of future dispute where one to occur is absolutely necessary and appropriate. And while ISO would hope that with an improved relationship likely to emerge with SES, it would never be necessary to again invoke the dispute resolution. As a precautionary measure, some backup funding arrangement remains essential. On repayment of past debts, with regard to ISO's debts to some member states that supported ISO when appropriate funding was not provided through the duration of the Intelsat bankruptcy and which remain outstanding, this has continued to be an unresolved issue at this time. And so at a minimum, an agreement spreading the recovery of an amount sufficient to discharge these debts over a multi-year period should be pursued. We talk about the issue of timing of ISO funding payments. And here we know that although Intelsat used to agree to disperse funds in two installments from 2013 to 2019, it's now disbursing funds in four installments, which leaves ISO with even less stability. And so ideally, funding should be disbursed in full or in no more than two installments. Another weakness of ISO is the lack of a mechanism for enforceability of the PSA obligations, including not only funding issues, but also Intelsat's obligation to honor the public service obligations and sharing information with ISO. And so we suggest that it would be desirable to include appropriate language in defining agreements to ensure that ISO has necessary funds in case it needs to start arbitration against the operator. We also want to note that in preparing strategic plan and goals and objective documents as AP documents, ISO should consider additional ways in which its strengths can be leveraged for the benefit of parties and the operator, as well as potentially consider developing a broader vision statement focusing on the organization, what the organization should look like in the next 4 years. Mr. Chairman, that's on the term of reference one. I don't know if you want me to pause there and then discuss or just continue through the rest of the presentation.
Thank you very much, DG. Maybe we'll put stop here and open the floor if there is any comments with regards to the TUR. One, as we can see from the presentation of the Director General, in TR ones, we are looking at a recommendation that would help to strengthen the ISO as an organization to allow ISO to enable ISO to achieve his goal and execute his responsibility. But at the same time, also we should look at the different options that will help to mitigate some of the risk that organization has faced or may face. And mainly, some of the key issues have been highlighted by the director generals, which are linked mainly to issues regarding the enforceability of the PSA obligation and elements which are related to that, like the funding obligation, like sharing the information with ITSO, obligation for it for Intelsat to share information with ITSO. But also looking at any other aspects which will be relevant to the organization mandate that would be how to strengthen the relationship between ITSO and Intelsat. Of course, one of the key aspects in that process is for Intelsat to for ITSO to be more valuable in terms of its outcome to the membership and also to Intelsat. I see a hand raised from Ms. Rivati. You have the floor.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, DG, for giving a exhaustive deliberations about this TOR1. I prima facie, I completely agree with the proposal of DG. When we see the weaknesses, strengths, weaknesses, and opportunities to ensure a more successful ITSO, from the strength side, yes, credibility and leadership, they have adaptability, they have a resilience, they have a creativity. But to happen all these things, Intelsat, that ITSO should have proper funds. Like we have seen last few years back during arbitration, there were concerns which were affecting ITSO directly on their day-to-day work. So we need to, I think primary reason is that funding mechanism. I think we should focus more on this funding mechanism and the case of arbitration, how it can be done, and there should be a provision to have a minimum funding so that ITSO can more focus on its responsibilities. With this comment, I would like to ask DG, can you throw some more light on what are the other weaknesses other than this funding part we still feel? There are some gaps which needs attention with that. Thank you. DG, if you can throw some more light on it, I'll be happy. Thank you, DG.
Thank you for that for that question, Srivathi. I think primarily the other weaknesses would really be stemming from the main ones that we have listed out, in the sense that they become subsets. Subsets in the sense that absent funding, then obviously certain weaknesses of the organization become very, very, very obvious in terms of what you can do to deliver. And that's in terms of the resources, the human resources that you need to run the organization. It's a weakness, but it's a weakness that doesn't come at the forefront if you have sorted out the issue of funding. I think the other one, of course, is when you look at the interaction between the secretariat and the member states. The weakness of the secretariat not being able to have sufficient interaction with member states is also really mainly because of the absence of sufficient funding. If the participation of the secretariat in the meetings of other meetings, for example, global meetings where member states are, to sort of synchronize what the organization is doing with what is taking place globally, that absence of presence is mainly because of lack of funding. So I would say that what we have listed are main ones, but there are others which are really subsets of what we have listed already.
May I come in? Thank you, DG.
Yeah, sure.
That's I think fundamentally, I think we should focus more on this funding issue. Once that has been addressed properly, I think a lot of other issues, other weaknesses can be resolved. I agree with DG completely. I think hopefully we'll work in that direction as far as this TOR is concerned. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ms. Revati, any further comments or contribution on this topic? Nigeria, please.
Thank you, Mr. Sharma. Thank you, DG. Extend my greetings to every other person involved in this meeting. I actually thank DG for bringing up this proposal as well as recommendations. They're even opening more as regards to weaknesses that ITO has. I agree with about for saying that the funding is an issue. When you look into the document that have been proposed by DG, you will find out that an area that which is lacks that actually shows bringing up the issue of mechanism for enforceability of the PSA. I think is something that we should look into, try to see how we maybe SES or Intelsat, whichever that will be in the future, should, how are we going to ensure that they have respect or try to implement whatever have been agreed to be as stated as the PSA. I think that is paramount, and I felt that we should pay attention in that regard, be as it may that funding looks more as an issue, but that too should be something that we should emphasize and try to draw out modalities that to ensure that the PSA should be highly respected and workable. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Nigeria. Any further comment?
Just to mention that issue actually comes up also later within the term of reference 3. So the issue raised by Nigeria is also brought to the attention of the membership under term of reference 3.
Thank you very much, DG. So if there is no further comments, so before maybe suggesting some of the recommendation, I'm noting that we have also another contribution on the same topic from the coordinator of these TORs. So we will wait until we have introduced all the contribution on this topic to suggest some, I will say, possible recommendation. But at least we would retain what has been proposed by the DG. And we should also bear in mind that for this TOR1, we have some key issues that we would need to make sure that we are providing appropriate recommendation. Of course, first, we have the issue, I will say, the more general issues of the mechanism for the enforceability of the PSA obligation, but with specific emphasis on the funding mechanism. But we should also have to look at three other aspects. The issue of restoring the contingency fund, the provision of information by Intelsat, and also the issue of honoring public service obligation by Intelsat. And we would also take care of addressing issues that may be at risk for ITSO in the event of a future Intelsat bankruptcy. I think that deals more with the issue of the PSA, whether is it an executory contract or no. So those are the key parts also that we would have to look for. went we put address the recommendation on this topic. I acknowledge, I recognize also that the issue of whether the PSA is an executory contract or no is also addressed on the TOR3. But of course, when we would address the issues of developing recommendation, especially when it will come with a possible revision to the existing PSA or developing a specific agreement with ACS, these items also should pack into one so that they could be addressed. Now let's move then to the presentation on the part of the document which addressed the TUR number two, DG, or number three, sorry, DG.
Thank you, Chair. A term of reference three basically looks at the potential improvements in the current public service agreement, the PSA, between NITSO and Intelsat, and the development of a PSA framework, which is needed if entities other than the company Intelsat, stroke ACS, were to come into play. So term of reference three, as I mentioned, specifically focuses on the relationship between NITSO and Intelsat as given by the terms of PSA and the extent to which that relationship can be improved or strengthened going forward. First of all, in terms of amendment of the existing PSA, we should be noting firstly that any formal changes to the PSA can only be adopted by mutual agreement of ITSO and Intelsat. And as such, formal amendments may be difficult to achieve. Having said that, in the case of Intelsat IGO, we provide here an example that due to the collaborative relationship between Intelsat IGO and the operator, the PSA has been amended 7 times since 2001. And so from that point of view, we think that in the future, once a better relationship has been established with the operator, amending the PSA could be feasible. Then there is the accompanying issue which AP41 Working Group may wish to consider further, and that's in the role that the Assembly will play in reviewing and agreeing to any formal amendments. The question here really is whether the proposed changes should be approved by the Assembly of Parties first or before proceeding with the amendment process, or whether the Assembly of Parties should approve the changes to the PSA, including the amendments, all at once. But of course, this is something which is an issue that the working group would have to consider. Now, for certain aspects of Article 3 and for Article 4, for certain aspects of Article 3 and for Article 4 in its entirety relating to the ESO contract, the vagueness of Article 3 in the nature of information that needs to be provided to ESO by Intelsat. And we also suggest that there may be a minor revision of the Article 6 dispute resolution mechanism dealing with the ability to utilize the expedited procedures rules. In Article 3, certain provisions deal specifically with ITSO's role in reviewing petitions for eligibility to participate in the LCO contract. And Article 4, in its entirety, deals with ITSO's role in resolving any disputes arising under the LCO contract. These provisions are no longer necessary at this time, and their retention will no longer be necessary. We note that Article 3 contains language requiring Intelsat to provide ITSO with sufficient information necessary to perform the assessment on whether the core principles are being achieved. The scope and the nature of such information required has been the subject of ongoing concern at various times in the past. This is a matter that will need to be addressed further in the ongoing discussion with SCS once the acquisition has taken place. With respect to Article 6, dealing with dispute resolution matters, while the experience with the operation of the ICC procedures have raised a number of concerns as to how Article 6 was drafted, we are sensitive to not seeking a major redrafting of Article 6 at this time, but would envision a proposed revision to just one element, and that's specifically adding specific language to the expedited procedure rules contained within the rules of arbitration of the ICC to be utilized within Article 6 of the PSA. In addition to the lack of mechanisms, the PSA is the overall relationship between ITSO and ACS. If it evolves away from a pure supervisory one to one which is based on collaboration and cooperation, that change would certainly be reflected in terms of the PSA. Talking about new PSAs with other entities, we want to mention here that a detailed template was previously developed and presented at AP38, and should serve as the basis for what will be considered by the AP41 Working Group on this subject. Later on, Mori will be presenting this document. It addressed a number of revised provisions from the original PSA with Intelsat that will be needed in differentiating the PSA with an entity other than Intelsat from the existing PSA. And we highlight a number of issues there which would warrant sort of looking at, and I really don't want to go into those details because I think Mechanic Memory is going to have his time on that. We then talk about the relevance of other international government organizations. And here we're just saying that there should be consideration given to potential benchmarking of ITSO's relationship with Intelsat, the relationship is established by IMSO and Intelsat IGO with the companies over which they have oversight, and how those relationships have evolved over time. We have had, just mentioned, we have had a couple of meetings, one with the Director General of IMSO and one with the Executive Secretary of Intelsat IGO to sort of find out from them their experiences over time. And they shared some very useful insight into how on their side things have changed. And so, Chair, in terms of potential recommendations under term of reference 3, firstly, we know that there are some potential amendments to the PSA that could be undertaken. Given difficulties associated with the former amendment, it should also explore alternative means of dealing with these matters, including entering into multi-year funding agreements and cooperation agreements. And here the suggestion is that if there is difficulty in arriving at these recommendations, as you mentioned, because it requires agreement of both ITSO and Intelsat, maybe we should find a way of exploring alternative means. And then secondly, the work previously done with regard to developing the template for PSA with an operator other than Intelsat should serve as a basis for formal adoption of such a PSA at AP42. We also mentioned that ITSO should take into account the experiences of IMSO and Intelsat IGO, including how they deal with other entities, as a way of being able to ensure that on our side, it is also complete. I think I would stop there.
Thank you very much, Chair. So I think there was also a presentation by Mori on the previous work on the new PSA with other satellite service provided. Are we going to take it now? No.
Sure, okay. I can do it now if that makes sense. I leave that to the discretion of the chair.
Okay, please go ahead, Maria. I think it's better to take it now, and then we'll open the floor for comments on all the aspects related to the work and the TOR3.
Okay. Let me begin by giving a bit of brief background, and it's also fair to say I'm not necessarily going to go over the document line by line or paragraph by paragraph. It's a lengthy document with a lot of attachments. Parts of it deal with past history that was relevant at the time, but may not be that relevant for the work we need to do. But basically, with the adoption of an amended Article 12C2 to the ITSO agreement, which opened up the possibility for the first time that there would need to be a PSA with an entity other than Intelsat, if in fact any of the conditions in Article 12C2 were triggered and there was a common heritage resource that was not being utilized to the disadvantage of ITSO and the member countries, and we wanted another operator to be able to do so. It was necessary to take a look at the existing PSA and figure out, first of all, could you simply have another entity sign it? And the answer to that is no, because there are certain aspects of the existing PSA that are very specific to Intelsat and also specific to the history relating to the restructuring that took place in 2001. However, there are significant aspects of the PSA that deal with achieving the core principles, and those obviously would need to be maintained probably pretty much as it is. So in looking at the existing PSA with Intelsat, and these were actually the bullets that were in the main document, that Patrick referenced, but I think passed over in deference to me. There were certain five or six things that were of particular relevance. Yes, I think that's the right page. And let me just focus on those. First of all, at the very beginning of the PSA, there's a lot of introductory language that, again, is tied to the history of the Intelsat restructuring and why the PSA was necessary with the restructuring. That is really not relevant to a PSA with an entity other than Intelsat, but instead what would be relevant would be to talk about the amendment of Article 12C2 and how that created the possibility for an entity other than Intelsat to be a party to a PSA, and therefore it was on that basis that this new version of the PSA was being created. The second thing that was important is that we may face a situation where there's a PSA with an operator other than Intelsat that applies to a single orbital location. And very definitely, as a matter of logic, if you're dealing with a single orbital location, it's going to be impossible for that operator to, for example, commit to provide global coverage and connectivity from that single orbital location because that's physically not possible. So I think what the emphasis there would be to contributing or maintaining the overall objective of providing global connectivity and coverage. We would also want to make sure that it was operated in a way that would continue to benefit lifeline connectivity users. And most importantly, that even though we're dealing with a single satellite, that it still be operated in a manner to provide non-discriminatory access to that satellite. So there would be adjustment there, but certain key principles would need to be maintained. As indicated, even in connection with the current PSA, given that the LCO, Lifeline Connectivity Obligation Contract, which is a specific thing that came out of the restructuring, is no longer, shall we say, in existence. It had a specific number of years in which it could run, and we're now well past that. The references in there would also no longer be necessary, although there was a role defined for ITSO to play if any disputes arose specifically relating to the LCO contract. And I think that language can be modified to perhaps have a role to play if there are any disputes between any customers of the satellite operator operating under the new PSA, where ITSO could be of help. So that type of change is also reflected in the new text. With respect to dispute resolution, this was a little bit more complicated, and it's also important to keep in mind that this document was prepared back in 2018, shortly after the amendment to the to Article 12C2 took effect, and we had not had the experience of going through an arbitration with Intelsat and seeing how difficult it was, and perhaps having the opportunity to then reassess the whole approach to dispute resolution. So the language that's in the draft that is attached to AP 3814 probably will need some further work, and that's something that I think the Secretariat and I will be prepared to do, and that we can probably provide at a later meeting. But in terms of the basic concept there, and I think this is still valid, under the existing PSA, ITSO doesn't have the ability to use the threat of terminating the PSA as any sort of threat or club, because the PSA needs to exist, and if there's a dispute, what we need to do is make sure under the existing PSA that we have the ability to force Intelsat to do what it's supposed to do. When you're dealing with an entity other than Intelsat, and in that situation, they are providing us with a service, meaning helping maintain the common heritage filings and use of the common heritage, but we're also providing them with a benefit, which is the ability to operate from an orbital location that they might not otherwise have access to, and obviously to have the economic success that comes with that. we're in a different, entirely different position. And that means that if for some reason the entity that we signed a new PSA with, and hopefully this would never arise, but you have to be prepared for it, is simply not doing what they're supposed to do under the PSA, we do have the ability to simply terminate the PSA and then, in coordination with the notifying administration, look for a different operator that hopefully will behave better. That being the case, it makes dispute resolution a lot simpler, because instead of having a very complicated arbitration process with a whole host of issues that might arise and remedies that are far more far-reaching, you can really focus on this. If we have a real issue with the entity that signed a new PSA as to whether or not they're performing properly or not, the quickest and easiest solution is simply to terminate the PSA. They lose the ability to operate from that orbital location, and we would look for a different operator in its place. So if a dispute arises and ITSO believes there's a need to terminate, that would probably be the only issue that would need to be resolved if you actually got to the point of an arbitration proceeding. If the operator that we have issues with really believes that they're doing a proper job, they can dispute that and we could have an arbitrator reach resolution on that. But there's not the need, as there was with Intelsat, and proved very difficult with Intelsat, to try to deal with a broad range of issues that touched on funding, that touched on information, and made it more challenging, even in the context of an arbitration proceeding, to get resolution, putting aside the whole problem of the Intelsat bankruptcy. This dispute resolution would be much more focused, much more narrow, and would actually put ITSO in a much stronger position going into an arbitration proceeding than it would be under the regular PSA with Intelsat. The final thing that needed to be adjusted, and again, because this document was presented to an AP in 2018 before all the problems we had on the financing side with Intelsat came about. So we had no reason to believe that good faith negotiation wasn't a way forward. We do need to have very specific financing arrangements with any new operator, including the creation of a separate contingency fund. That would be even more important, since the existing contingency fund, although we hope to be able to remedy it, is still in somewhat of a state of disrepair, if I can use that term. But we would look to establish a contingency fund dealing specifically with the common heritage orbital location or locations that the new operator is using, and would provide us with sufficient funding if we had to go into a dispute resolution mechanism to be able to fund that. I also think, and again, the current language in the revised PSA that's attached to 3814 still talks about good faith negotiation. I think we've sadly learned that's not going to work. We will need to have a very specific financing amount agreed in advance, and that would be a precondition to the PSA even being signed. So we're not in a situation of having to go through a negotiation process where we have no control and no leverage. That would need to be resolved. So that, in terms of having a PSA with an entity other than Intelsat, I think we're in relatively good shape. As I indicated, there are a couple of areas where the document that's attached to 3814 will need a little bit further tweaking, but I really believe it does provide a very strong basis for going forward. Looking at the document itself, 3814, and again, I don't think we need to go page by page, but let me just explain what is there. The first 10 pages or so is really sort of the cover document. It gives a little bit of the history of how the amendment to Article 12C came into being, what it signifies, and sort of lays the groundwork then for having the need to develop a new PSA that would apply for an entity other than Intelsat. The biggest issue that needs to be resolved, and we had a proposal there, but I think will need to be revisited by the Assembly and the Working Party, is if we actually hit a situation where we have to look for another operator, what authority does the Director General have to move forward assuming the assembly parties has fully agreed on the wording of what an alternate PSA should look like, because you then get into a logistical timing issue. If in that situation we have to have the assembly of parties actually approve a specific PSA with a new entity before it can take effect, given some of the timeframes imposed by the ITU in terms of keeping a filing alive, we could face some real timing difficulties. It may be necessary to convene an extraordinary assembly of parties. That's going to be very, very, that can be costly, that can be difficult to do. And so our recommendation was to actually have the assembly delegate authority to the Director General to move forward with the new PSA on the condition that he fully report all his actions to the assembly and that it be done in a manner consistent with whatever prior decisions the assembly has taken regarding this. But again, that's something that I think probably at the next assembly will need to be reconfirmed if that approach would be acceptable to the assembly. Once you get beyond that, there are a number of attachments. I believe the first attachment simply has the wording of what would be the new PSA and what I would say in clean version. And it follows the outline that I gave at the beginning of my presentation. And you'll see here much different whereas clauses at the beginning. I won't go through the rest that carefully, but you have exact wording for what the new PSA would look like. And as I indicated before, there's still a couple of places we may need to go back and further tweak Article 6 dealing with a dispute resolution. And we may need to obviously do some further revision to what is now Article 13 dealing with funding. But other than that, I think this is pretty viable as a way forward for a PSA for an entity other than Intelsat. After that, the next attachment, which is attachment 2, and this may in some respects be the most important attachment, because this is actually a fairly detailed explanation section by section as to every change that was made what we're calling the template PSA for operators other than Intelsat in comparison to the existing PSA. And again, I'm not going to go through this. I think I've covered the highlights already, but this is very detailed and very specific, explains every change that has been made and the reason that change has been made. So I think if you're looking at this as a reference point, this is going to provide the greatest degree of clarity as to what has been recommended. And then for those who prefer visual assistance rather than simply reading a lot of words, when you come to attachment number 3, this is a red line comparison. So you can actually then visually see every single change that was made. The underlying document here is the original PSA. Everything that's in red lined either as new text or strikeouts are all the changes that have been made. So attachment 2 and attachment 3 together should give absolute clarity as to how the PSA with an entity other than Intelsat compares to the PSA with the entity with Intelsat that's in existence today. And then finally, again, just for reference at the very end, I think we attached a clean copy of the existing PSA with Intelsat. And again, that's because that's probably, other than the treaty itself, the single most important document that exists in terms of ITSO's history since 2001. And I recognize, particularly for some of the newer participants in this working group, they may not actually have ever seen a copy, even though we make reference to it a lot, of what the original, what the current PSA looks like. So this is provided as a reference document as well. And with that, I think that concludes my presentation. Again, this is focused on one specific issue, but obviously, if we're ever confronted with a situation of where a PSA with an entity other than Intelsat would be required, this the approach laid out in this document and the text that's in it would be of critical importance. Thank you. And I'm certainly available for any questions.
Thank you very much, Maury. So to wrap up on the presentation that we have received for this TOR2, the focus is on areas that should be considered for improving the existing PSA with Intelsat, and this is in addition with the topics which has been highlighted when we were considering TOR1. And another element of importance which has been also highlighted here is about the mechanism to conduct such the process of modification of modifying the existing PSA. We need also to think about that and maybe to provide appropriate recommendation to the AP on how to manage and conduct such a process. Another key element which has been highlighted in the presentation is that for PSA with potential new satellite operators, we already have a strong basis going forward. That is the work which has been carried out by the Secretariat, and also the submission which was made to AP 2018 with regard to that. Of course, there might be some area of improvement to the submission. This will take into account the latest development which has occurred with our relationship with Intelsat. But of course, there is another key element. There are other key elements that should be taken into account. It's about when developing such a new PSA, the incidence or the impact that it would have, or the relationship between this new PSA and the existing PSA with Intelsat. We need also to maybe to focus on those specific elements so that we could reflect possible options on this topic in our recommendation. Before maybe opening the floor, I would maybe request the DG just to recall or to remind us what was the decision of the EP with regards to the submission of this proposal in terms of new PSA with potential new satellite operators. Just as a reminder for the meeting on the decision of the AP in 2018 regarding this document. Thank you.
I guess subject to Renata pulling up the actual decision, AP decision, what I recall is that it was approved in principle and that they were expected as secretariat to work further with the notifying administrations where it could be necessary, but in principle it was approved by the AP. But maybe Renata, are you able to access that?
Yes, Pat. Yes. Thank you very much, Director General. Yes, AP 38 decided to request the Director General to further develop the template public service agreement as contained in Attachment 1 to AP 3814. In consultation with all its sub-parties and the notifying administrations. The Assembly of Parties decided to authorize the Director General to enter into public services agreements consistent with the PSA template developed in accordance with paragraph 51, when and if needed in those instances in which Intelsat has waived any of the common heritage frequency assignments. The Assembly of Parties decided to request the Director General to report to the Assembly of Parties at its next ordinary meeting the status of the draft template PSA, any negotiations or signatures of a PSA, and to present any revised draft template PSA to the Assembly. And the Assembly of Parties decided to authorize the Director General to convene an extraordinary Assembly of Parties in the event that Intelsat uses Common Heritage Frequency Assignments in ways other than those set forth in the ITSU agreement or declares bankruptcy. So this was decisions of AP 38. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Renata. Thank you for reminding us on the decision of the AP 38 with regards to the template for a new PSA with possible other satellite operators. So clearly, it means that the template has been already endorsed by the AP. What maybe could be submitted further to the next AP is just proposal in terms of revision of this template, and also as proposed by the Director General in order to see the whether the previous decision of the AP 38, which was before any before signing any such new PSA to convene an extraordinary AP, this should be kept as the formal process of doing that, or looking at an alternative way. So with that, I would like to open the floor if there is any comments with regards to the presentation from the DG and even the consultant Murray on the template for the PSA with possible new operators. I see hands up from Ms. Ribati. You have the floor, madam.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, DG, and thank you, Mary, for giving a very elaborate presentation. In fact, I was really wondering, is it possible for us to amend the existing PSA? He made it clear. It's a challenging, but we can slightly improve it. And another good point is already the PSA template in principle has been approved by AP 38. I think we can further tweak on it. I have one concern. Actually, that's what Ms. Mary also told. Due to any unknown reasons, we may have to, ITSO has to enter into a PSA agreement with a new entity, then call for an extraordinary AP meeting. It may be a slightly challenging task because, as he correctly pointed out, there are ITU regulatory limits to bring back the spectrum, to bring back the satellite. Otherwise, we'll be losing that rights. So that particular right, probably we should think of suggesting Director General may be authorized to take care of that decision and inform in the next AP meeting. That is one line I thought we can think of. Regarding other PSA conditions, which Mary has shared the document, both the comparison version, I think we can go through it and we can provide our comments. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Rivati. Maury, I think the question was addressed to you or the DG. It's up to you.
No. Oh, actually, I am sorry, Chair. I think I don't have any specific question. I just expressed my views and comments on the proposal presented by DG and Mary.
Okay.
Thank you, Ms. Rivati, for this clarification. Sorry, I was because you have highlighted one issues of the circumstances in which there would be there might be a need to conclude a new PSA with a potential new satellite operator. So my understanding on that point was that maybe you were seeking for clarification on which circumstances are involved there. But it's okay, that's fine. So thank you for clarifying that.
Chair, so Mori would like to. Mori would like
to. Yes, you have the floor, DG.
No, Mori would like to make a comment.
Right. No, I think the representative from India makes a very valid point, and the need for an extraordinary assembly poses a real challenge, and that may need to be revisited. Again, I actually welcome that comment because I think it's very helpful. The one clarifying point I would make, if I heard Renata correctly in how she read it. There are three different circumstances in Article 12C2 in which you might find yourself needing to have a new operator come in. One dealing with simply Intelsat not using a slot, and one dealing with Intelsat bankruptcy. The third being if Intelsat does, for lack of better terms, things that it shouldn't do with respect to the orbital slot. I think the notion of an extraordinary AP was only tied to that, to the one I just mentioned last, although I think in sequencing it's the second one. And that's because that one is so unusual that I think there's a feeling that that was something where the assembly might need to weigh in. But even there, I have to agree, having to have an extraordinary assembly to get involved in this issue adds all sorts of complexities, given the rather firm deadlines that we have emanating from the ITU. And so even in that more challenging situation, we, in terms of feasibility, we may be much better off extending the delegation of authority to the Director General to deal with it, reporting to the Assembly. And obviously, if the Assembly has an issue, if enough Assembly members have an issue and they feel that they want to have an extraordinary assembly, there's a mechanism where they can request one. But the notion that that would automatically require assembly, an extraordinary assembly, probably goes too far. And as long as the assembly is comfortable in that regard with not requiring it, I think that is the better way to go.
Thank you very much, Maury. Any further question, comments, or intervention on the topic? I see no hands up, so it seems that at least the meeting agree with the points which have been made by the Director General regarding the area where we could think of improving the PSA. So that's the first point. Second, I have noted that we need also to reflect on possible options in order to address the way to conduct the process of revising the existing PSA with Intelsat. It is recognized that it might be something challenging to start this, but of course, we might provide some recommendation to the AP with regard to that. I have noted that the Director General has already suggested that we can have, I would say, a multi-stage process, starting with having a collaboration agreement with the Intelsat ACS on some of the key issues which have been highlighted, and thereafter opening up, I would say, negotiation for the formal process of revising the PSA. So I think that's something that we should also consider and discuss further if needed. The third key element is that we already have a template for a new PSA, for PSA with potential new satellite operators, which has been endorsed by AP38. And of course, based on the suggestion on a potential, I would say, a revision update to that PSA, we also might look at that aspect, so to go through the possible update to this template that could be submitted as a recommendation to the next AP. And also I have noted the proposal of instead of keeping the process as approved by the AP38, of convening an extraordinary AP to address the issue of the signing of the potential new PSA with an operators, to explore the possibility of having a delegation of authority to the Director General to enter in such agreement with a new satellite operators. with regards to the signing of the new PSA. I see hands up from Ms. Revati. You have the floor, please.
Thank you, Chair. I'm sorry. Again, I've taken the floor. Actually, I missed one point. I would like to bring this. One of the recommendation, potential recommendation, suggested by the DG, that is, ITSO should take account of the experience of IMSO and Eutelsat IGU. That's a very good suggestion. Whether already ITSO has done some work on it, or like how will be doing this? Whether ITSO has done some preliminary work on this?
Thank you very much, Ms. Revati. DG?
Just like I mentioned, we had a couple of meetings, one with the DG of IMSO and the other with the Executive Secretary of Eutelsat IGO to sort of find out from them how they have dealt with their own institutions over the last 20 years, you know, plus since restructuring. And of course, we find that there are some similarities. There are some areas where there are differences. And so the idea really would be to sort of compile the outcome of those discussions into some suggested ways to approach our own issues. I mean, we note, for example, and we mentioned this, for example, on the side of funding, IMSO does what the funding is given as a lump sum at the beginning of the financial year, whereas on the other hand, the approach by Eutelsat IGO, it's different. And I think then the other one is in terms of how they relate to amendments to the PSA. It's an easier process on the side of Eutelsat IGO, because for them, essentially, there have been seven amendments, but they were all primarily on the side of changing the ceiling of the funding. In other words, over time, they have been changing how much money could be paid to them by Eutelsat, the company. In our own case, of course, we have that set out within the PSA already. But what is missing, of course, is the lower limit. So there are lessons that we have learned through discussing with them, and would compile these into any proposals for changes, that, taking that into account.
Thank you very much, DG. Yes, Mr. White.
Thank you, DC. It's a very, very useful point, because I could see almost all the problems of it. So is about this fixed funding, whatever mentioned in the PSA. I think when we give the recommendations of this TOR3, probably we should bring more in details of this, benchmarking with other similarly placed intergovernmental organizations, how they are functioning, and the similar type of setup we should be able to recommend for even ITSO to function it efficiently. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Revati. Renata?
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Just to add one point about the IMSO and Eutelsat IGO relationship with the operators. One point that we note during our discussions with their director generals was that at both organizations, they didn't have the minimum amount. They also have the ceiling, but they were not, they didn't encounter any problems because the operators always fulfilled. So this is a weakness that we want to change, because we had a bad experience, but in their legal agreements, they didn't have a lower. Their operators always understood that they have an obligation to pay based on the initial years and everything, and they fulfill their obligations. So this is a point I wanted to add. And another point to mention, particularly for those who are new to ITSU, is that we also had at AP39, we have started working on a revised PSA between ITSU and Intelsat. This was the AP3910, the document where we start working on that, and that at a later point we might need to bring that document back again. And this document simply addresses some changes while we are dealing with the bankruptcy. But just to bring this to the attention of the parties, which was the AP3910. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Renata. Thank you. So also amongst our say key elements that we have noted from the discussion on this topic is that we should leverage from the experience of sister organization IMSO and Eutelsat IGO, and we would kindly request the Director General to prepare a paper that outline how these organization have addressed some of the issues that we have faced, and learn what we can learn from JS setup to improve our own processes within ITSO. So with that, could we move then to the presentation of the elements with regard to the last to the TOR0 to TOR5? Sorry, DJ, please.
Thank you, Chair. Term of reference 5 focuses on certain external events or factors that can have an adverse impact on ITSO and on the common heritage and the measures necessary to protect against such events. Here, I want to mention that of paramount concern is the need to establish more formal protections from any possible adverse impacts of bankruptcy on ITSO's ability to function, including, in particular, the possibility that the PSA would be treated as an executory contract that could be rejected in its entirety by Intelsat in a bankruptcy proceeding. We mentioned this again specifically because we had a bad experience during the bankruptcy, where there were attempts by Intelsat to tell the court that the PSA was an executory contract. And so here, the items listed there simply talk about the fact that there is contention that can be rebutted. In rebutting any contention that PSA should be considered, there are a number of points that are relevant. Firstly, that the PSA was not a result of negotiation between two parties on an arm's length basis with equal bargaining power, which is normal for a contractual relationship that could be considered as an executory contract. Indeed, neither of the two parties to the PSA were involved in this negotiation at all. Rather, its contents were determined through a political process that involved the member governments of the governments of 143 countries. Secondly, the individual that signed on behalf of ITSO, Mr. Connie Coleman, also signed the PSA on behalf of Intelsat Limited. This, of course, was something that took place in an extraordinary sort of situation. One of the parties also to PSA, ITSO, did not even exist in its current incarnation when the PSA was signed, and did not come into existence until moments after it was signed. The PSA also contains no express termination provision, as would otherwise be standard in a contract. An executory contract is one in which both parties have remaining obligations to perform, and that's not the case with the PSA. The PSA is not described in its agreement as being a commercial contract. And so those are some of the elements that could be used in rebutting any contention that the PSA should be considered as an executory contract. We also provide information about the guidance provided by the U.S. Department of Justice, again, regarding the characteristics of an executory contract. Finally, let me mention that to assure further protection of its status in case of a merger or other change of control, it is essential to confirm that any new controlling entity is clearly and fully subject to PSA and that the obligation imposed on it pursuant to this agreement. This should also include, and our suggestion that should include, a recommitment from the U.S. that the conditions it has imposed on the licenses for satellites deployed at common heritage orbital locations would remain in place in the case of a merger or a change or a change of control. And finally, in order to better position ITSO to be able to fully protect the common heritage, there are a number of matters that need to be included in the same annual reports from the two notifying administrations. These have been discussed in detail, and we simply list out some of the items here for purposes of recording, including identification of license to authorize Intelsat satellite networks at each common heritage orbital location, status of operational deployment of Intelsat satellites at its location, connectivity provided to each of the ITSO regions, updating the use of each orbital position, and satellites deployed at each orbital position, identification of mechanisms to anticipate potential suspensions and suppressions, and then finally, identification of scenarios under which suspension of the frequency elements could occur. Having done that, we come to some potential recommendations under term of reference 5, which is that ITSO should develop a document for AP42 with all the reasons why the PSA should never be considered as an extra contract. That can be rejected under the U.S. bankruptcy law. And then, of course, we suggest firm confirmation needs to be provided whenever there is a change in control of Intelsat to ensure that the new controlling entity is fully subject to the obligations set forth in the ITSO agreement and the PSA with respect to satisfying the core principles and that the and to the licensing conditions imposed by FCC on satellites deployed at common heritage orbital positions. And finally, the notified administration should provide in their semi-annual report submitted to ITSO sufficient information to accurately reflect the current usage of the common heritage locations and associated frequency assignments over which they have jurisdiction and the possible risks to the continued availability of those resources. I must add that we have, in the course of time, since the last AP, the reports that we are receiving from the notifying administration, specifically, for example, the U.S., is a lot, is much, much more different, much different compared to what was done before. And in a way, it's already in anticipation of what we are seeking. So there will be refinements to be made, but those refinements now, it is a much smaller issue than what it was before. And then lastly, also on the issue of the extra contract, I think as we talked before, this is an area where there will be need for interaction between the Secretariat and U.S. party to see how these rebuttals can somehow be specifically taken into account informally within the Department of Justice. But at this point, if Doug would like to comment, it would be most, welcome to understand how this could help the Secretariat. Thank you, Chair, for the opportunity.
Thank you very much, DG. So for the presentation on the text on TR5. So here we can see that the proposal or the text was emphasizing on the arguments justifying why the PSA should not be considered as an executory contract. And also it's suggested that the notifying administration should reconfirm that the language, appropriate language, will be maintained into the license to be granted to the operator, to the satellite operators, ensure that they should be subject to the ITSO agreement and also the PSA. So that's the element which is suggested here. Another element is refinement of the information that should be provided into the semi-annual report provided by the notified administration. We have already noticed that the Secretariat and the notifying administration has started to implement this proposal of alignment with information which are now in the actual report that are provided. Those reports are containing much more information than previously, and it's going towards what is suggested here. And another element that has been pointed out by the Director General is the fact that there will be a need of more interaction between the Secretariat and the notified administration, in particular the U.S. administration, with regard to the relevance of the arguments showing that the PSA should not be considered an executory contract. So with that, I would like to open the floor if there is any comments, question, addition to the presentation from the Director General. I see hands up from Ms. Rebati. You have the floor. Ms. Rebati, unmute yourself.
I have to unmute. I think because of paucity of time, I will focus on the point potential recommendations 3. As DG told, there is an improvement in the reports coming from one of the notifying administration, that is party of US. And also some bullet points have been suggested in the document above, which I feel they are very relevant. Is it possible for the ITSO secretariat to share with the copy of the latest report? So from that, at least we can have an idea what is that information currently made available to ITSO. And then we can suggest what are the other information probably which is more relevant to ensure common heritage orbital slots are being utilized properly and we are not prone to the risk of losing those orbital slots. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Rivati. DJ?
Yes, we can share.
Thank
okay.
you.
Thank you, DJ. Ms. Luisa Maria?
Thank you, Chair, for the floor. And I just like a few comments about the recommendation number 2. I would like to clarify why it's just the FCC noted there, because I believe it's more appropriate we involve all the notifying administration. So I think UK is another notifying, so this is my contribution for this point. And additionally, the number 2 recommendation also mentions about the transfer, but bankruptcy can implicate and liquidate all the patrimony. So I think it's important to assure that the Article 12 C2 will be also implemented in this case. In the a PSA will be assigned if the common heritage patrimony will be used for another country in the bankruptcy on Chapter 7. I think in the United States, that's my point. Thank you for the floor.
Thank you very much. DG, please.
Thank you, Chair. On the issue of recommendation 2, specifically, we mentioned the FCC because they imposed conditions way back in 2008. UK did not impose any conditions because they have their licensing regime is slightly different from that of the US. But that having been said, I think in terms of applicability, you raise a valid point that what was done by the US is great. And I think UK within its own satellite licensing regime, if they could do something similar, it would sort of be very helpful to ITSO in the same way that the US has done. But so we take note of that. Now on the second issue, liquidation and bankruptcy. Maybe I would defer to Mori to comment on this first, if you'd like to.
Okay. Thank you, DG. Mori?
Sure. Again, it depends. And when we've got practical experience here. When Intelsat emerged from bankruptcy, although it had been, in essence, reorganized, it remained Intelsat. And similarly, with the SES transaction, assuming that's approved, SES will be stepping into Intelsat's shoes, but for purposes of both the treaty and the PSA, it will still be as if that represents Intelsat. But the delegate is absolutely correct. If you have a situation where Intelsat is broken up and you no longer have Intelsat as the operator, and instead the Intelsat's assets will be distributed through the bankruptcy proceeding to a number of other entities that are not Intelsat, at that point, absolutely, Article 12C would come into play, and there would be a need for any of the entities that wind up getting some of those assets to the extent they include common heritage orbital locations to have PSAs executed with ITSO before they're actually able to operate satellites in those locations. And again, most of the orbital locations in question are licensed by the FCC, and it would seem as though the FCC's own conditions would also call for that outcome and would be consistent with that. I think you are correct. We probably need to do a little bit more work with the UK to figure out with respect to the more limited number of orbital locations where the UK has responsibility, exactly what would happen there. But I think, and I don't want to put words in the UK's mouth, but I suspect this is at a minimum an issue that they would be sensitive to. It would certainly want to work in a cooperative way with ITSO to come up with a solution where the protection of those common heritage orbital locations would not get lost as a result of that type of breakup of Intelsat.
Thank you very much, Mori. Did you?
I think one question, Mori, that you may want to add further information on. Supposing actually Intelsat were to be liquidated completely and there's no operator at all.
And I think there it would be the same thing. If Intelsat were liquidated, then for lack of a better term, in the bankruptcy proceeding, you would probably have a mechanism where its assets would be made available, let's say, for lack of a better term, an auction or the less polite term, a fire sale of those assets. But again, any entity acquiring the satellites that were at orbital, common heritage orbital locations, or the right to deploy satellites at those common heritage orbital locations, they would need to have a PSA with ITSO before they could actually implement service from those orbital locations.
I guess playing the devil's advocate, you know, you may have a situation where they don't even want to use the common heritage positions.
Right.
That then becomes, again, obviously an issue for the parties to decide as to how to use them. But clearly the issues raised by delegate Lisa is, you know, are important, and I think we need to take them into account in the recommendations that we are making.
Thank you very much, DG. Thank you all for the comments. If there are no further comments, I think there are two elements that we need also to take into account to improve the current suggestion for the recommendation of the DG is the fact that for the recommendation two, this should be extended also to the other notifying administration to make sure that in the, any license or similar, I will say, a document or instrument, the principle of the principle of having the operators to be bound by the obligations set forth into the ITSO agreement and the PSA should remain. And also, there has been a point which has been raised about a situation where Intelsat is liquidated or even broken up into several entities. So I think this scenario also should be taken into account in formulating our recommendation to make sure that we are not missing any possible situation which could be at risk for the common heritage. So, therefore, if there is no more comment, I would thank the DG for his input and his proposals. And we would then move to the next agenda item, which is item 4, where we would have the contribution for the coordinators of TORs 1, 3, and 5. So I will kindly invite the coordinator to introduce her document.
Good morning, Chair, and good morning, DG, and all members on the call today. As I listened and I went through the document prior to hearing Maury's presentation, I feel the need that the coordination of this group would need to also look at that PSA and to understand the implications therein. But what we have done is actually just pull together some information that will augment the DG's contribution and things to consider. And as we go through the recommendations herein, we have, you know, just highlights, and they're pulling from source documents as we see how much money is there to be had for this deal. And the matter of funding is absolutely critical for the continuation of this organ. It has to be funded, and how it's going to be funded is very critical. And there are a number of funding models, but again, it has to be aligned to the actual PSA and again the intention of the organization. So securing the agreement is absolutely critical. And what we actually did was in Annex 1 outlined some possible threats and opportunities and things to be considered as we move forward. Now, the transaction is seen that we have to have a bilateral agreement with the perspective of these matters here in front of you. I will not read verbatim what we've presented, so we can keep on scrolling. It is really just a supportive document enhancing what has been said and what has been elaborated over the time we've been on this meeting. But bearing in mind, as we move forward, we have to recognize we're not in a vacuum, and our overarching objectives to our member states and the common heritage is critical as we move through these TORs as they're put forward. We did not get any input from in terms of some of the backgrounds, but we tried to pull certain key issues as it relates to the merger, as seen there. Funding has been the underlying pin for everything that we do and oversight. It's very, very clear to all of us that we need to ensure that funding is in place and oversight is critical. Enhancing the industry collaboration. Again, this is something that's also critical because the whole space program has evolved over the last, I want to say, over the last maybe 10 or even two decades, if I can say that. And I think one could learn from other institutions, such as the FCC program. I think it was mentioned previously, and there are other entities around also. But the space program that is on the table and the work that has been done over the years through that organ is something that we could look at and actually benefit from their industry intelligence. So enhancing collaboration in industry, and again, of course, we always must always think of mitigation factors because we're not alone in the space programs. There are many players now. There is the LEOs. And again, although it can be a threat, it also can be an opportunity for ITSO to look at possible collaborations. And the C-band spectrum and involving the practices could also harm the small competitors and limit consumer choice, which is also very critical. But again, it's a balancing act that we also have to maintain. Alignment with the regulatory requirements is very critical. And again, we spoke to that. And I believe the revised PSC that Maury actually presented was very edifying for me. And it's something that I look forward to deep diving into, to understanding the deep-rooted issues of that new PSC that is in front of us. So as we go through, and I'm moving very quickly because I'm very concerned about the timing factor with everyone, the recommendation under TOR3, again, looking at DG's recommendations and just trying to give some also augmentation to it. I believe I actually put some information in the Annex 1, which we could go quickly to. I think it follows through. Yes, good. So there are opportunities and there are threats. And what I've tried to do is just to pull together some of the opportunities in terms of the goals. And we are in a unique, I believe we're in a unique position to leverage global connectivity and to really maintain what we were about. Again, the why do we do what we do? And again, there is a number of innovative activities happening in the satellite community. I believe with that philosophy, build it and they will come. And it is evident what is happening amongst us right now. I mean, when we'll go to the World Radio Conference in 27, it'll be all about space and how much spectrum will be given to space. But there has to be a balancing act. And this is something that we, again, have to appreciate at this level. And most importantly, policy and regulatory influence. This was also stated previously, and I think I'm repeating what my colleagues before had said. It's very, very important for us to manage the expectation and also on the regulatory side to maintain that balance. We have to work towards enhancing the communication protocols, standardize efficient communications, but also strengthen its position as a global leader in the field. And this was something cited in an article that was documented prior to me putting it here. And nobody can underscore the growth in the satellite connectivity and the different various mechanisms now. I mean, terrestrials linking to satellite or backhaul is something that I believe it is done in the US. T-Mobile recently announced that last month. So it's something that is happening. So there are many opportunities for it to embrace. Now, looking at the threats and on the flip of it, there is competition. And this is something that we have to understand and how we're going to maneuver it in terms of how we do in the woes of financial current challenges, how do we maneuver and ensure continuity? And this is something, again, I've put on the table for consideration. Moving through, please. And of course, we have in this instance here, the regulatory and political risk that you have to be mindful of. And of course, the disruptions that will take place. There's a number of different talks now as it turns about space debris and how we're going to be more responsible in space. And this is something that we need to, although we have these pressing matters of funding in our face, we also have to future-proof it so and be mindful that we're not operating in isolation. So again, I just kind of pulled together a few recommendations, which again, this is coming out of DG's document as well as just overall. So the strengthening the partnership with the players, enhancing policy and regulatory influence, investing in innovation once that funding model is in place, and get to diversifying revenue streams. It's important to have diversity because then there is not a high reliance on one stream of revenue coming into the entity. And with that, Chair, I rest for comments or any other matters that would like to be presented. Thank you, Chair, and thank you all for your time.
Thank you very much, Coordinator, for TORs 1, 3, and 5 for this very insightful contribution. And as you mentioned when introducing the document, this document is also providing elements to augment the DG contribution, and I've seen also some merits with your input. Because the previous contribution from the Director General has provided, I would say, some generic recommendation. For instance, there was a recommendation which was suggesting that the goals and objectives of the ITSO should focused on addressing the needs of its clients. Client for me here means the member state, but also Intelsat. But I think that in this contribution, there are some ways that we could leverage to identify where are the needs and the possible, I would say, action or activities that could be carried out by ITSO in order to be responsive to the needs of its clients. I have also noted that there was an issue about how we should proceed to overcome the challenge of negotiating a revision to the PAC. But of course, from your contribution, we can see that you are suggesting that we can start by having, I would say, an interim agreement between the two parties that will pave the way for a formal process of modifying or revising the AP. I think this such an option also has a great advantage in terms of timeline, because we know that the AP is meeting every 2 years. But of course, if there is a possibility to have initial, I would say, a negotiation between the executive or the ITSO executive organ and the Intelsat parties and agree on key areas, that could help improve or facilitate the discussion or the negotiation on the update, the PSA, that will be fine. And we will also, as indicated by the Secretariat, leverage on the previous work that has been carried out with regarding the updates or the revision of the PSA. There had been past discussion between Intelsat and the executive organ on some aspect for revising the PSA. So therefore, I think that we have some, I would say, useful element that we could capitalize on to provide our recommendation to the next AP. So with that, I would then open the floor if there is any question, comments, or further contribution on the input from the coordinators of TORs 1, 3, and 5. US, please. Mr. May.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you to the colleagues for the presentation. I just had a general question for, I believe, our esteemed colleague from Jamaica, Ms. Myers-Hamilton. In the discussion on these terms of reference and the recommendations that you're putting forward, there seems to be several instances where you're suggesting that ITSO is the service provider, that ITSO competes in the market, that ITSO needs to make investments in technologies and so forth. And yet we all know very well, of course, Intelsat is the satellite operator, ITSO is not. ITSO, of course, is the intergovernmental organization that oversees Intelsat's performance of the public service obligation. So I guess it's a question as to possibly explaining what is the thinking behind these recommendations and suggesting that the ITSO is something other than it is. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much, US, for the question. Of course, ITSO is not a service provider, but ITSO could support the service provider, especially when it comes to aspect-related technology advancements and other key areas which might have an impact on core principle. Jamaica, want to respond to the points made by the question from US?
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Mr. May, for that question. And exactly what you said, Chair, it's more looking at, rather than separating ITSO from Emersat, it's just a matter of just putting the organ together, and that through that entity, they will strengthen and collaborate and do all that. It's not the matter of, and again, excuse me if I put it so, but the focus was on just trying to pull together ideas as to well, as to, in regards to how to improve the relationship. But again, it was an intention for ITSO to lead anything in the market. I understand completely the matter. So I do apologize for that misconception. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Coordinator. So, but I think the points you have made are relevant. We may need just to tweak the language to make it clear, okay, in such that way. Thank you. DG, please.
Thank you, Chair. Thinking about what Doug and of course Maria have said, there is one issue which one difference. For example, in the case of Eutelsat Igo, they have a seat on the board of Eutelsat as an observer. Now, the key thing out of that is that they are privy to all sorts of strategic directions which the company may be taking or plans to take. And they are never surprised, or at least they are aware of where they fit within the overall landscape of satellite communications. ITSO, of course, doesn't have that opportunity because of the way it was established. But I think to talk to the issues that have been raised as compliments, maybe these are things that could be somehow raised through the cooperation agreement that could be established between ITSO and Intelsat to have a better understanding of the strategic directions that the company could be taking at any one time. And we all know that competition is really on full blast. Changes in technologies are coming so fast that sometimes you don't know what is coming next. That for ITSO to simply be there as like a recipient, just being told what has happened, rather than being anticipatory, I think is something which needs to be addressed one way or another, whether through the kind of strategic plan, with the way it is implemented and so on, how that can be addressed so as to be more present in terms of what the operators are doing, as opposed to being simply a recipient. The other issue, of course, on the policy and regulatory issues, I am a very firm believer that the opportunity which ITSO has is unique and should be explored to not just influence, but to have leverage on the kind of policies that are being developed in the satellite arena by member states. And that's something which we haven't had a chance to be able to do effectively for many reasons. But I think it is an opportunity which is really, really important for the organization to take account of. There are many countries that look for policy and regulatory guidance. And there's no better way than ITSO being the forum where such sort of things are discussed. They don't have to be binding, but it creates an opportunity for exchange of ideas, which will be helpful for many countries that don't have the resources to be able to do that on their own. So I would say that in a nutshell, what has been raised in this document, I would look at it more in terms of where can you find ways of being able to look at these issues, maybe through the cooperation agreement. Yeah. So that absent what the agreement says, the ITSO agreement, we are still being more relevant than what we have been in the past. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, DG. Thank you. And I think I have also noticed that in the paper there is another, say, issues which has been pointed out. It's about the role that ITSO could play to make sure, or I would say, to the role of ITSO to be influential on the fact that he could help to prevent any anti-competitive behavior of Intelsat with regard to some emerging satellite services. So I think this is also not something we could think about, because through, as you've mentioned, a possible bilateral agreement with Intelsat, we might be in a position, or even with the instances that we have in ITSO, it could be also, I would say, a forum to discuss about such kind of issue and to make sure that Intelsat in its operation will not hamper the development of, I would say, small satellite or some small satellite operators which are providing services which could be helpful from for the member state, even it's a member state. So I think those are some key areas that have been highlighted in this paper for me that could be of interest, that we maybe we should deep dive into them and see how this could be reflected in our goals and objectives and implemented through our strategic plan. So with that, any further comments? No further comments. So thank you very much to the coordinator of TORs 1, 3, and 5 for this insightful presentation. Of course, this will be very helpful for our next steps on this issue. So now let's look at the way forward. I think at this meeting, we've been able to address the issues under TORs 1, 3, and 5. We've been able to have a thorough review of the different aspects regarding those TORs. We have been able to identify the key issues. We have been able to have, I would say, an in-depth discussion on a possible a way forward or course of action to address the issue which have been highlighted. So therefore, what I would suggest to the meeting in terms of way forward or course of action with regards to the elements that we have received today. First of all, to invite the coordinators of the TORs 1, 3, and 5 to consolidate all the recommendations from the contribution submitted today and the comments from the meeting so that we can have, I would say, an initial list of recommendations to address the issues around the TORs 1, 3, and 5. Second, based on the material submitted to the meeting, to prepare a report based using the template which had been circulated. The Secretariat has shared with the members of the working groups a template for the report for the different the report that should be prepared under the different TORs. So I would kindly invite and request the coordinators of the TORs 1, 3, and 5 to use that template to prepare the report using the background information that's provided into the submission that we have addressed today, and also the recommendation as discussed during our meeting. Now, there are two further areas that we will have to address. First, they are all dealing with the revision of the existing PSA with Intelsat, but also the development, I would say, or possible update of the template for the PSA with other entities than Intelsat. So for this specific work item, I will suggest that the coordinators for the TORs 1, 3, and 5 prepare also, I would say, a consolidated list of proposed areas or proposed items for the revision of the existing PSA with Intelsat. Of course, we have highlighted so the aspect through the different TORs, but to ease that process, we can also consolidate all these suggestions into a single document that will serve, I would say, as a guidance for the AP to address the issue, having one single consolidated document that outlines the different points where it is suggested maybe to open a work item on revising the ESA with Intelsat. With regard to the template of PSA with other entities than Intelsat, it was requested to the Secretary. The Secretary has already provided, I will say, initial thoughts about a possible elements for revision. I would like to request the Secretariat to pursue that work and provide with an updated version of this template. And this updated version will be submitted to the coordinators of the TURs 1, 3, and 5, and they will to consider maybe through a specific, I would say, a meeting, a review of those proposed revision. I don't know if this course of action is agreeable to the meeting. Maybe so I'll start by asking the DG if, from his perspective, this is doable. DG?
Yes, Chair, it should be doable.
Okay, thank you. Coordinators of TURs 1, 3, and 5, are you any comments with the suggested course of action?
Yes, Chair, this will work fine with me and and the team. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Then I would turn to the meeting. Any comments with the proposed course of action? So no hands up. So I think this is acceptable to the meeting. Thank you very much for the support. So now let's move to item 5, AOB. Is there any
AOB? We don't have.
Yes, did you please?
We don't have any AOB from the Secretariat.
Okay, thank you. If none from the Director General, even for the meeting, thank you for that. Before my closing remark, maybe I would request the Secretariat to remind us our future schedule.
Renata, would you like to take up the floor, please?
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Our next meeting will be on June 24th, and we are going to be dealing with the terms of reference 2, 4, and 6. We will provide again a contribution from the Director General, as usual, and we welcome contribution from the parties and from the coordinator and vice coordinator on these terms of reference. Again, it's terms of reference 2, 4, and 6. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Renata. It's just to remind the colleagues that please, if you intend to submit a contribution, kindly use the template that has been circulated for the report of on the different TORs. Then it will ease the work of, I will say, our work as the management team and the Secretariat to consolidate all this contribution and provide with the reports that will be more digestible by the AC first and the AP. Now, getting to the closing remarks, DJ, do you have any closing remarks?
Oh, Mr. Chairman, just to formally thank the membership of the working group for the excellent inputs and comments that we have received, and to pledge our continued dedication to ensuring that we have adequate documents in preparation for the meetings that are incoming and taking place. Thank you.
Thank you very much, DG. So me too, I would like to extend my warm thanks to all the participants who have attended this meeting. And also, I would like to thank the coordinators from TURs 1, 3, and 5 for their hard works, and also the invaluable contribution they have provided to our meeting today. Thanks also to the Secretariat, the DG, and Renata, Heloisa, and all the team for their hard work, the dedication to the work, and also the input they are providing that is facilitating our work. So thank you to all. Thank you for attending the session today. So our next meeting will be on the 24th of June. We will address the TUR 2, 4, and 6. Thank you to all. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. You. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.